So at the beginning of ordinary time, we hear about the beginning of Jesus's ministry, and last week on the second Sunday of ordinary time, we heard the gospel of the wedding feast at Cana, which is the first public event that Jesus does, or first public account in John's gospel. But now we're turning to Luke's gospel, where we'll spend most of this next year. And the first public account of Jesus's ministry in Luke's gospel is when he goes back to his hometown and to the synagogue there. And there he reads the scripture. And the scripture that he read is from the prophet Isaiah. And he says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor." So one of the things that I think is interesting about this is that Jesus is announcing that he is the fulfillment of this prophecy from the Old Testament, that he is the Messiah. And what's the sign that the Messiah has come? Well, it's that this one is going to bring good news to the poor, and he's going to proclaim liberty to captives. He's going to set them free, and he's going to heal those who are blind. So it's very interesting that the fulfillment of this prophecy, or the revelation of the identity of the Savior, the Messiah of Israel, is in all of these people who are held bound are now going to be freed. And so something that we see here is that's consistent through all the scriptures is the dignity of the human person and God's concern for the human person, and especially for the human person who's in bondage or enslaved in different ways. And so what do we see Jesus doing immediately after this, after he's proclaimed himself the Messiah? And what's the sign that the Messiah has arrived? Well, we see it in the life of Jesus, because the first thing he does after he leaves the synagogue is he encounters someone who's possessed by a demon. And so he sends the demon out of that person. And then shortly after that, he's going to heal a sick person. And as he does this, he tells that sick person that their sins are forgiven. So we see Jesus, all of his ministry is centered around releasing people from the bondage that they have, the slavery that they have. So he's freeing people from Satan's grasp, and he's freeing people from their physical ailments that hold them back. And he's forgiving their sins, which hold them in bondage. So what's remarkable, and sometimes we can forget this, is that God in Jesus shows us that he's so concerned for the human person. He's so concerned for us. He doesn't want anything to oppress us or hold us in bondage or in slavery, especially not sin, not the enemy. And he even wants us to experience physical healings at times. So I guess I was thinking a lot this weekend about God's concern for the dignity of the human person, as we see in the life of Jesus, especially yesterday, since yesterday was January 22nd, which is the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision Roe versus Wade. So yesterday was the 49th anniversary of that terrible Supreme Court decision. And that's when the court found a so-called right to abortion in the U.S. Constitution. Abortion is the most important social justice issue. It's so important that we are working to overturn Roe versus Wade. Maybe it will happen this next year, please God. If it does happen, it doesn't mean that abortion is going to be made illegal in our country. What it does mean is that that decision will be left to the states. In Minnesota, it's not going to change very much if Roe versus Wade is overturned, because we have laws in the books in our state that allow for great freedom when it comes to abortion. So some states will make abortion legal, some states will keep abortion legal, but it should be illegal in all states. It shouldn't be permitted in our country anywhere or anywhere in the world. It's a terrible crime against humanity. Why? Because the unborn child is a human person. And that this is what the church has taught since the very beginning, is that at the moment of conception, that mysterious moment when the human person is formed, God imparts an immortal soul to that person. And so the creation of a human being is never an accident, and it's never a mistake, even when it happens in unfortunate or unplanned or unexpected circumstances. God is always involved in the creation of the human person, because he's the one who puts the immortal soul in that person, and that immortal soul makes us us. That's why I am me and you are you, is because of our soul that God himself gives us. And so God sees every one of us from the moment of our conception as his beloved son or his beloved daughter, each one of us, and continues to look at us as his beloved sons and daughters throughout eternity. And so with abortion, what we're saying is that when we find another person to be an inconvenience to us, then it's okay to take the life of that human person. We say that our life is more valuable than the life of that child, that they're disposable in some way. But actually, our faith tells us that no human life is disposable, that every human person matters in the eyes of God. And because that person matters in the eyes of God, he should matter in the lives of the rest of us. The unborn child is the most vulnerable, the most defenseless, the most innocent, and the most in need of protection. That's why we should have laws protecting life. And we should have laws helping women, too, who find themselves in difficult circumstances of their pregnancy. We should have resources for women so that they're able to choose life for their unborn child. Sometimes people can think, well, pro-life people only care about the unborn baby, but they don't care about the mother, the woman. That's not true, though. We have many pregnancy centers, even in our own diocese, we have pregnancy centers and help for women. As a priest, I've ministered to many women who have suffered the trauma of abortion in their life, and they suffer for it. There's one older woman that I know who had an abortion decades ago, and then she wasn't able to have children after that. So every year I call her on Mother's Day because she's told me that that's the hardest day of the year for her, that every day on Mother's Day she thinks of her unborn child who is lost to abortion. And she has a very hard time forgiving herself. So one of the things I have to do every year is tell her that God loves her and God forgives her because she's sorry. And it's very difficult for her to believe. She suffered for decades because of that choice. So abortion is not a women's rights issue. Abortion hurts women. It goes against the very nature of a woman to take the life of her child. And we shouldn't facilitate that. So it's so important for us, if we're pro-life, that we're able to see the dignity of every human person. And we all struggle with this in different ways. We're all tempted to look down upon people in our life who we find to be an inconvenience to us. It's very easy for us to be prejudiced or experience bigotry or judgmentalism, hatred for others. But the gospel of Jesus tells us that every person needs to be respected. So this is why he was always reaching out to those on the margins of society, which included people who were looked down upon. Tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes. Jesus reached out to all of these people. Nobody else saw their dignity, but Jesus saw their dignity. And so if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we have to see the dignity of every human person, every life. So if they're from a foreign country and they've moved to our country, whether they're here legally or illegally, we have to see them as a human person with dignity. We need to protect their rights. If they've committed a crime, a terrible crime, we have to stand against the death penalty because that takes the life of a human person. So even if they took the life of a human person, it doesn't make us right to make it right for us to take their life. Why? Because they have dignity as a human person. So it's good for us to be reminded of how much God loves us. Every single person that he's created, born or unborn. And our worth and dignity doesn't come from whether we've made good or bad choices in our life, because we've all made good and bad choices in our life. So our dignity doesn't come from that. Our dignity comes from our having been created in the image and likeness of God, which is what the scriptures teach us. Every human person, no matter what they've done in their life, is created in the image and likeness of God. So as Christians, we have to stand up for that truth. We have to do it publicly. But we also have to live that truth in our own life, trying to love every person that we come into contact with, those people who are easy for us to love and those people who are hard for us to love. And we have to try to take care of their needs when we see others in need. So let's ask the Lord today to help us to see as he sees, to help us see every person that we encounter as he sees them, a beloved son or daughter, worthy of love, not because they've done good or bad things, but simply because they've been created by God. They're his sons and daughters, and therefore our brothers and sisters.